let's get the latest on the killing of Cecil the Lion, the professional guide who helped the Minnesota dentist shoot the popular animal with a bow and arrow last month, was in court today. He said the case against him is frivolous and he did not do anything illegal. The guide, though, is charged with poaching, luring Cecil out of a park where he had protected status onto a neighboring game farm, and then trying to destroy the lion's tracking collar. And Zimbabwean officials are asking for the extradition of not just the Twin Cities dentist who killed Cecil, but also a Pennsylvania doctor who killed a different lion in a different hunt a few months earlier. Both denied doing anything wrong. Let's get an American hunter's perspective. Ben Carter is executive director of the Dallas Safari Club. That's a group which advocates for hunters. Ben, we know you can't comment on this case. You say the courts haven't yet determined what happened. But what are your thoughts on luring an animal from a protected area?
I'm not defending this instance in any way. We only believe in legal, ethical hunting. But you also need to understand some of the laws and rules over there. You cannot, it is strictly illegal to bait an animal outside of a national park. But the way the rules are set up in Zimbabwe, if that animal leaves the park, he's fair game. Now, if you try to entice him to come out of the park by baiting, that is illegal. I don't know what happened on that case. I don't know if they did that or they didn't do that.
And you
agree
that'll
be for a court to decide, I suppose.
And do you agree that it should be illegal?
I think it should be illegal. Absolutely. Yeah. That's not ethical.
Well, you know, there's a second layer of this debate. You know better than anybody, beyond the legality, the ethics. Why shoot big game? Lions are greatly reduced in number. Elephants are heading toward extinction. Why? Why hunt them?
Well, the real fact is, and this is the part that people don't want to talk about or don't want to accept, but the reality of the world is economics comes into play with everything. Okay, Africa is a very poor country. They don't have a lot of resources. They barely have wildlife departments that can manage the populations that they have. It costs money to manage wildlife. And nobody is paying the money but hunters. Hunting is the only mechanism in place that is ensuring that we have wildlife in Africa.
Because you say
you make... I know that that's a conflicting statement to people that don't stop and think about it. But a lot of the people that are immediately turned off and don't want to talk about it don't want to listen and go through the facts. But the facts are the hunting dollars that go over there, a person that has a concession pays multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars to have that concession. That concession goes back to the indigenous people that have that area or whatever, as well as the government. That's what pays for the management. If nobody else is paying for it. The government doesn't have the funds to do that. And people think that wildlife just manages itself, that if you leave it alone, it'll be fine. When you talk about the elephants, elephants will destroy a whole village's crop in one night. And you may have seen it was probably 6 months ago or maybe even a year ago that about 300 elephants were found dead near Wangi National Park, the same place we're talking about. The indigenous people, that local community, went out there and poisoned them. And they did that because it's either them or the elephants. Now, I know that it seems unfortunate, but it seems like a lot of people in America would rather it be the people than the elephants. But you've got to deal with the real world here instead of what you see on Walt Disney movies. And the fact is that the hunting is what pays for wildlife and wildlife management.
So you make the point that many hunters have been making in the last couple of weeks, that the hundreds of thousands of dollars that are spent on this trophy hunting, big game hunting, goes into conservation of animals. As you well know, the conservationists have debated that. You also talked about the local people, and we have heard local voices saying that they're wondering why there's more concern about an animal than there has been for the people of the area. You have backing in that. But what about the criticism? You know, put those aside. What about the criticism that this is no longer hunting? We spoke to one of the researchers who had been tracking Cecil, and he's not necessarily against hunting, but he objects to the way it's changed, that there are guides that are aiding Americans in particular who are in it just for the trophy and not for what used to be the old-fashioned Mortal Kombat, old-style hunting trips that took weeks or months and were actually, real hunting. Now it's in and out with many people greasing the skids along the way.
Well, I would disagree with that somewhat. I don't think that that's the case. I think that in order to hunt any of what would be considered the dangerous game, that's going to probably be a three-week hunt. And there's an awful lot of people that still believe in the adventure and romance of being out in Africa, out in the wildest parts of it, for 3 weeks with just you and a guide and the trackers and people like that, and experiencing the same thing that people experienced 100 years ago. And I think that's one of the motivations for most people that go and do it.
Well, 100 years ago, and still today, there are hunters who hunt for food. This is about getting, you know, a head on a wall. Can you see how people would say, you're no longer the person who's depending on the animal, and as the Indians did, blessing the animal that you killed. It's not for food.
I disagree with that, too, in that the communities around there that actually will allow the hunting to take place by it being a concession, they're the beneficiary of that. All the game that is killed, an awful lot of it goes back to that community. They look forward to hunters coming there because they know that they're going to have food in the pot, and that part doesn't come out. But that's it. Most all of the food that is taken from the wildlife is going to wind up going to the community.
Well, and what are you hearing from your community, the Dallas Safari Club? Are there people, because of the outcry, are there people saying, you know what, it's not worth it anymore? Or are you hearing members saying, because I believe in what we're doing for the reasons you listed, I want to go?
I won't say that there aren't people that don't get concerned about it. I think, you know, a lot of people are very disturbed that uninformed people can are organized probably a little better than we are to get a message out, whether it's true or false. And I think an awful lot of the stuff that comes out, the hysteria that the general public jumps on board with, is all misinformation. Most people that I know that are hunters are passionate about it. They love wildlife. They love the whole outdoor experience. That's not going to say we don't have bad apples in our community as well. But I can tell you the Dallas Safari Club only believes in legal, ethical hunting. And, you know, we know that the majority of the population no longer is pro-hunting or are hunters. But hunters and fishermen make up 40 million people in the United States. So there is a pretty large segment of people out here that love the outdoors and love hunting and fishing. And I think most of those people try to do the right ethical thing. They know that we're under a microscope, and nobody wants to lose this opportunity to enjoy the outdoors by continuing to hunt. I want to be able to take my grandkids hunting and let them experience what I've experienced, which hunting takes you out in nature right with the animals, and you really get to see them more than you do in any other way.
Can you explain to someone how, you know, that excitement that I can't imagine it, the goosebump-inducing thrill of being in the wild with a wild animal. Can you explain how then you want to kill that animal?
Because you have to look at the overall, what's the best thing for the wildlife? And the best thing for the wildlife...
Is that why you shoot animals?
Pardon?
Is that why you would bag a big game? Because it's
no.
The best thing?
All right, look, here's the process, and here's what most people do from a hunting standpoint. Generally speaking, most people that are trying to go over there and take whatever the species is that they're going to hunt, they're going to want to try and find the oldest, most mature male that they're going to be able to find. And one reason for that is that that mature male is probably most likely not in the breeding population anymore. He's lived his life. He's done what his mission was on the planet. And he's also been around the longest. So he is the smartest one out there. And you know what? We all have this instinct inside of us. Unfortunately, as we've become 80% urban, people don't feel it. They don't know it. But it's the same thing as your competitive streak. I won't say there's not people out there that are just doing it because they want it as the trophy to beat their chest. I don't think the majority of hunters feel that way. I think the majority of hunters, I know many people, and myself included, that have gone on a very expensive hunt. And your challenge was, I'm not going to shoot any animal unless he's a very old, very mature animal, one that's going to probably die in the next year of natural causes. And by the way, in Africa, dying of natural causes is pretty terrible if you ever see it. I've seen it where an animal is literally torn apart as he's alive, and that's what kills him. That's not a good way for them to go. A better way is a quick, merciful shot from a rifle that ends his life, but he's already served his biological purpose on the landscape.
Well, Ben Carter, Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club, we really appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And a reminder, we've heard from many opposing voices in the last couple of weeks. Temple Grandin, animal activist, comes to mind. So just now, the thoughts of a hunter.